How dare you upset my granddaughter? I will not tolerate having that young girl frightened out of her wits by you and your idiotic stories about flesh-eating monsters. You've been in my employ for less than 2 weeks, and in that short period of time, you've demonstrated to me your insolence a number of times. You've traumatized my granddaughter, an impressionable child of refined sensibilities, upset the household on numerous occasions, and managed to unnerve the members of my lady's auxiliary society with that strange behavior you exhibit. I will not tolerate strange behavior in this house!
Sadness feels so good when you've spent so long feeling nothing. It feels human to cry over lost love, even if it was never yours to lose. It's hard to cry, of course. Feeling something with such profundity, it seems so foreign, doesn't it? But when you can, my goodness, the euphoria of sorrow in the face of emptiness. Indeed, sorrow feels like joy when you have only ever known cruelty.
I shall never leave you in peace, dearly departed husband of mine. I shall remain by your side in hell for all of eternity. That I promise you.
It was 1690. John Moxley, you saw him earlier, had a brutal winter, failed crops, a dying family. His wife, Mary, was the first to go. He planned to bury her in the orchard, but desperation warped his thinking. He believed her flesh might nourish next season's soil. An offering.
Don't you know, Matthew? When you condemned me as a witch and took pleasure in watching me burn alive, you forgot to take care to remember that I was the only other person who knew the dreadful secret of your cataleptic curse. I'm afraid you've been mistaken for the dead and buried alive, and no one is wise to that fact save for you and me. It's just our little secret, my love.
I realize this is sudden, and by sudden I mean possibly ill-advised, but in the name of theoretical advancement, I must ask your indulgence. I am requesting your presence at your earliest convenience, ideally before something sparks, in room B12, the Frankenlair. I didn't name it, but I've grown fond of it. After several sleepless nights, 8 to be precise, and one incident involving a heatsink and a microwave burrito, I believe I have constructed a working prototype for chronomechanical displacement. In plain terms, time travel. Yes, that kind.
Oh, sure. You see all kinds of critters out here on the road. Gators are the worst, though. Travel enough, you learn to avoid them. You see gators all up and down the highway. Blown out tires is all. Call them gators, because it treads on top of them, see? Look just like a gator's hide. Truckers use the name all the time. Know there used to be an ocean in these parts? Probably lots of gators back in the dinosaur times. Maybe ours just never left.
You were tiny, smaller than a bag of sugar. Tubes in your nose, wires all over your chest. Just lying there in that incubator fighting to stay alive. My sisters hugged me, cried with me. And my mother, she held my head to her chest and told me you were a fighter. Told me we had to pray. So I did. In the early hours of New Year's morning, I sat beside you and prayed harder than I've ever prayed in my life. But here we are, all these years later, another early morning, another hospital room, and you're lying here with that same expression you had back then. Anthony, you came into this world fighting. I never wanted the boxing life for you, but you chose it. Now I'm begging you, keep your hands up. Keep swinging. Keep fighting.